Well, good morning, guys. Just a little caveat. So we have a bunch of people gone, and so this isn't like just. I feel as though if I do a bunch of things, it's like this weird like Twilight Zone kind of episode where this new family comes into the community, and every time they see anyone, it's the same person, and they just wave. So we had to juggle some stuff right at the last minute, and so. That's why I was doing music this morning, too. So for those of you who don't know me, my name's John. I've gone to this church for quite a while now. I'm married to Liz. She's out teaching at the moment. We have three kids. We have one on the way. He's about halfway through his growth spurt, as babies in the womb tend to be. There's not a lot of situations in your life where you double in size every couple of weeks, so this is cool. Maybe during the holidays, some of us do, but other than that, it's not all that common. I have worked out at my job. I'm a programmer. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a programmer, and I've worked at the same place for about 6.5 years. About the past year and a half, I got a new job, and for the most part, my responsibilities at work have stayed the same. With the job has come business trips. And so I've only taken like a couple, but I took one a couple of weeks ago. And as I was standing in security in the airport, I heard someone yell, and I looked over, and there were two boys that were, you know, they were taking off their shoes and whatnot to go through the x-ray machine. And I saw one, they were both probably about 10 years old, and I assumed that they were brothers. But I saw one immediately push the other one to the floor. And I immediately thought of my own boys, of like, oh, no, no, no. But it was clear that that single offense was not their single offense. That there was a history there of offenses, that something happened that triggered it, and one pushed over the other. And I get it. I get offended all the time. It happens. There's just little things that irk us in some way, whether it's, you know, it could be anger, for example. Just as a quick survey, who in here has been offended before? By someone else in this room. Yeah, I have. How many have been offended at me? No, don't answer that. If you guys have been offended by me, come talk to me, but please don't do it all at once. If that's possible. Because it could be anger, it could be frustration, it could be fear of judgment, embarrassment. At the moment, I'm actually wearing my wife's deodorant. I'm a bit embarrassed about that. I don't want to talk about it. It's strong enough for a man, but it's pH balanced for a woman, so I might be a little bit off. So have grace with me. You could be hurt. All of those things like fall under this huge umbrella of offense. Some kind of injustice has happened. Some kind of, hey, you know, that's not fair. And so now I've taken on this little offense. Dealing with offense is vital for life. Is vital to keep relationships together, is vital for the church being unified, and we need to deal with offense very, very quickly. And we need to deal with it appropriately. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll start. Father, I thank you that you have given us your words, God, that you have given us kindness, that we sin all the time. God, but you have forgiven us, and we do not have to live in this constant sense of we are being wronged, God. You have given us everything for this life, and I am so thankful for that, and for that joy of salvation, and of having a relationship with you, and being unified with my brothers and sisters. Thank you, God. I pray that you teach us something this morning, that a lesson drives home hard in our heart, God. That our attitude changes, that our outlook changes, God, that we can forgive more easily, God, and we are unified. Amen. I want to read something for you guys. Am I a church offendee? Actually, I'm going to get a drink of water first. Whatever anyone else's offense, I have been offended more. Are you a tither? So am I. Are you a humble servant? So am I. Have you been hurt? I'm finally in my right mind to talk like this. I have been hurt more. I have worked much harder, taught Sunday school more frequently, experienced the stink eye more severely, and have been overlooked again and again. 5 times, I received the cold shoulder from church leadership. 3 times, I have had to remove my kid from childcare because he was fussy. Once, my suggestion was blatantly disregarded. 3 times, I left a Sunday service without a single person talking to me. I spent a night and a day disinfecting the nursery, and no one ever told me thank you for saving their child's life. I am constantly on the move looking for anyone who understands my concerns. I have been rebuked for my attitude, rebuked at church, rebuked at home, rebuked at someone else's home. I have felt pressure on my career choices, pressure on my parenting style, pressure on my loyalty to this church, and felt pressure to join a small group. I have labored and toiled and have often gone sleepless nights. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food because people keep cutting in line during potlucks. Besides everything else, I have read online that this church is unbiblical, it's harmful, and it's dangerous. So who is weak? Who is led into sin? Well, clearly, all of you. Offense is a really big issue. It comes very, very naturally to us. It's very, very easy to fall into. The problem with offense is that it absolutely destroys unity. And if it's allowed to continue and trickle through without being properly dealt with, then it grows into bitterness. And the thing about unity is that it's an absolute joy. It says in Psalms 133, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. So when I'm talking about unity today, pretty much is simplified, you can think of it just as friendship. You can think of it as connection. You can think of it as people just kind of being on the same page. There's this other idea of commitment that's tied with unity. And I'm not talking about till death do us part level of commitment. It's just if there's an issue between us, if there's an issue that's causing problems in our relationship, we're going to bring it up. We're going to deal with it. We're going to work it out. That there's a commitment there. It's about 10 years ago this summer, I took a trip down to New Orleans. And it was a really amazing experience. That's why I bring it up so often. There was a lot of good stories that came out of that. And we lived primarily on lunch meat and Pop-Tarts. The budget was really, really short, and so we didn't really eat as a group the highest quality food. And one of our sister churches in Denver, they sent a group of people down to New Orleans. They cooked us a bunch of steak dinners. They wrote a song for us. They performed it in front of us. It was like this comedy night, refreshing night, and it was awesome. And I just remember thinking, like sitting back and thinking, man, so I don't know any of these people from Denver. But they came down And they just really loved on us. And man, they loved on me. They didn't know me at all, but they loved on me. And that was possible because of unity. It says in Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. We had a burden down there. We were working down there. Because of unity, this group from Denver came down and loved on us and helped carry our burden. Offense destroys that unity. Don't let offense steal your love. If we think back to what happened with that Denver group, if there was offense there, if our leadership, if the leadership that was down there and the leadership that was in Denver, if they didn't get along, if they weren't connected, if they weren't unified, if they weren't on that same page, if there wasn't some kind of commitment to unity, we wouldn't have had that. They wouldn't have come down. I wouldn't have gotten loved on. I wouldn't have had this experience where, man, God's body is awesome and what it can do. Can God heal that? God can totally heal that and restore all these relationships. But man, weeks, months, years, decades of isolation can be avoided if offense is dealt with properly. And unfortunately, offense does not just hinder the amount of love that we get and the amount of love that we give. It hinders our growth. Don't let offense hinder your growth. Several years ago, I had a friend. He started coming around, and it was a good connection that we had with him. He had an accident early on in his life, and so he kind of messed up his leg, his hip, and so he walked with a limp. And as we got to know him more and more, it became obvious that this handicap that he had was something that was very tightly coupled to his identity. That everything that he did was viewed in light of this handicap. So there were certain things that he couldn't do that he didn't even attempt to try because he had this. And so several of us would approach him on this and basically show him that there are people with much more significant handicaps that are living a much more fulfilled life than him, and that this is not something that needs to hinder him and keep him back. Eventually, he got offended at that, and sure, we could have handled it better, we could have been kinder, we could have been more gentle, and there were some mistakes that were made, but eventually he got offended. It was not brought up, and he left. He had an opportunity to grow that would have made his life better. But because of that offense, it kept that growth from happening. I think, man, in my own life, and I think about all the situations for growth that I've had, of how often God will put me into a situation where my sin, where my trigger point, where something that I'm easily offended by is pushed and pushed and pushed, and that button is pushed and pushed and pushed until I get to this point where it's like, okay, God, I apparently can't do this on my own, and out of desperation, I really need God in order to do something because I can't live like this. And I think God blesses us in that area of he puts us in situations where we are forced to seek him so we can grow. If we are offended and we leave and we get out of that situation, we miss on the growth that we could have. It says in Proverbs 27, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And it says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. When we are in a unity situation where we have a bunch of people and they're all interacting, offense is just going to happen. As we said, who all's offended? Most of us have been offended by someone else in this room. And there are going to be so many situations where that offense is going to be there. And really what it does is it exposes my sin. If I am offended, it exposes my sin. I'm the ones with the problem, and I'm the one that has to deal with it, and I'm the one that needs the growth out of this. It's not an opportunity for me to leave. It's an opportunity for me to grow. My friend had an opportunity, but he didn't like the process. Understandably, I get that. And he left, and he missed out on that opportunity. I had another friend who got very involved, and when he first came, he kind of premised it like, you know, at my last church, they were kind of hypocrites, and they weren't very biblical, but, man, you guys, I am so thankful I found this church, and you guys are awesome. And in my heart of hearts, I thought, yeah, we are awesome. I mean, you know, mostly me. But other people hang out with me too, so, you know, it kind of rubs off. But as time went on, there were some things he didn't agree with, things that he heard that didn't really set well with him. He found some stuff online that other people had said, and eventually it got to a point that I'm out. I'm not going to be here anymore. And so there was two things. There was two things that were missed in that opportunity. One was that there was just another opportunity for growth because now he goes to another church, and what he's going to say is, man, my last two churches, they were hypocrites. They were unbiblical. But you guys are awesome. And there was a situation to grow, to get past that offense. But the other one, and Dove has reminded me of this, of it's an opportunity for the church itself to grow. So if there was something that was said that was bad, that was wrong, that was unbiblical, that was hypocritical, it needs to be brought up. Because then those that said it, the leadership can say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I didn't mean to hurt. I didn't mean to say something that was out of line from the Bible. And so we have this opportunity not just to grow individually, but to grow as a group, as a body, get closer to what God wants for us as far as what that's supposed to look like. And those opportunities were missed. Don't let offense keep us from being effective. So God's plan for us is to be one body. One body. There's like tens of thousands, if not more, of denominations, of Christian denominations. Our goal is to be one body. And because of offense, it's like split it into all these small little things. In Romans 12, it says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and their members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many, so we in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. A hand can do tons of stuff, but if a hand isn't connected, it's just dead meat on the floor." That our potential comes out of being connected to the body, of what we were meant to do, of what we can accomplish, really like multiplies when we're actually connected with what God's doing and we're unified. It says in John 15, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You're just dead meat on the floor." And being connected with Christ, man, it like life flows through all of us. Sin is dealt with. We grow more joyful and more loving, and it's this unified body that's doing something. God has a lot of hands and a lot of feet that can do a lot. Doesn't matter if we're a leg or a foot or a toe or a toenail. There's a piece that we're supposed to be doing that is going to bring us the most purpose in life. To do the mission. And the mission of what God wants us to do as this body is basically connecting with people, connecting with Him, and then spreading that love, spreading the message, spreading this idea that we are all part of this body, that we can all be part of that body. Offense destroys that. It's kind of like pulled pork. There's a couple of different kinds of muscle in a body. There's more. I'm not even remotely going to look at this side of the room with all the doctor people. So there's muscles that you work, and there's muscles that you don't. Some cuts of meat, like from a cow, for example, like a tenderloin, they are tender because that muscle hasn't been worked really at all. Other parts of a cow, for example, like a shoulder or a leg, have been worked a lot. And if you try to cook both of those pieces of meat the same, you're going to have a problem because one will be tender and one will be really tough if you try to cook it like a steak. And the reason why it's tough is when a muscle is worked, it kind of tears, and there's little connective tissue that are formed in the midst of those fibers. And so you get this really tough piece of meat. If you want to make pulled pork, you have to heat that sufficiently for a long time in order to break that connective tissue. And so after a while, you'll get something like pulled pork and that it will just fall apart. All that connective tissue will just fall apart. This is what offense does to the body. God wants us to be a strong, tight, highly toned muscle that we're doing something. And offense gets in there and it cooks it. And it slowly dissolves. And all those little connections that we were using to accomplish this goal, they dissolve, they melt, and now you have this body in pieces all over the place. And it's horribly devastating that offense can worm its way into the church, and where the mood changes from being a loving, unified group, it changes to being filled with hurt and isolation. And that's the incredible damage that offense can bring to a group of people. People have been separated for 20 years. People have been divorced. They used to love each other, but now there's divorce. Now there's isolation. And for decades, all that could be avoided. Deal with it quickly. Offense is like plaque that just kind of forms naturally just on your teeth. If you don't deal with plaque, it becomes tartar. If you don't deal with the plaque and the tartar, it can become gingivitis. That's an infection. That can turn into a blood infection. Now there's a big issue. Now it's a really big issue. People have died from gingivitis. Anyone? Is that true? I found it on the internet, anyway. But the thing is that thing that led to death could have totally been avoided. Brush your teeth. It's a completely avoidable death situation. And so if we don't deal with that offense quickly, that offense becomes bitterness. That bitterness will lead to a dissolving of the unity that we've worked so hard to get. And now it's a really big deal. Families have been completely destroyed because an offense was not dealt with properly. Sometimes we need a brushing. That's why it says in Scripture, don't let the sun set on your anger. Here's the thing, and this is something that I've learned in my own marriage, is unity is way, way more important than my feelings. Unity is way, way, way more important than my feelings. So if your feelings are telling you to dump unity, you need to brush away your feelings. Unity is that big of a deal. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Because he's just roaming around waiting to pounce. He wants any opportunity to destroy what God has brought together. I'm not talking just marriage, any of us. Any relationship that we have going on. Second, realize that it mostly affects you. So, sure, there are a bunch of jerks in the world. I understand that. But offense is such a horrible thing for each of us individually that really it just mostly affects you, because probably the person that offended you probably either doesn't know it or they just don't even care about you or anything else. And so it's not like your being offended is going to help with the unity. It's another lesson that I've learned a lot in offense. So I'm a stuffer. When something happens that I get offended, I have a really, really hard time bringing it up. And the one that's the most damage out of that, because my wife probably doesn't even know, is me. I'm the one that has the stress levels high. I'm the one that has the unforgiveness just kind of working its way inside of me. I need to deal with that quickly, and I need to realize that I am the one being affected, that it's not me being affected and isolated is somehow going to change things in our relationship. Last one, and this really is the heart of what we need to, this deals with forgiveness. Understand what we have in Christ. There's this story in Matthew, and it's really one of my favorites, because again, I've used it so often when I've had to deal with offenses in my life. And the idea is that there was a servant who owed his master an insanely huge amount of money. And the master called him in and basically wanted to talk about it. And the servant was on his knees. It's like, I can't repay you. I don't make that kind of money. And the master graciously said, you are forgiven. You are completely 100% forgiven. Even though it should have cost you your life, I have pardoned you. You're forgiven of this debt. The servant then goes out, finds someone else that owes him just a small little amount of money, and basically tries to get him landed in jail because that other servant won't give him money. The master hears about this. And this is how the story ends. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had the mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owned. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. We have been forgiven everything, and we have a hard time forgiving others. A couple of years ago, Pastor Steve did an illustration that I thought was really weird, but it really demonstrated a point of, you know, we can all say, just as a multiple choice to another Christian, are you forgiven? Yeah, I'm totally forgiven. Jesus' blood. Yep. But do we live it out? His illustration was this. He gave everybody a piece of paper. Some of you, I'm sure, remember this. He gave everybody a piece of paper, and then he took two pieces of paper. He took three. And on one, he wrote Jesus. And he took the piece of paper, and he put it way, way over in the corner there. And he taped it up. And then he took another piece of paper, and he wrote Satan on it. He took that, and he put it way, 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 way over there in that corner. And then he took a third, and he wrote Paul on it. And this was a little bit deceptive, but he wrote Paul on it. And he wrote it, and he stuck it probably right about there or so. And then he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take that piece of paper that you've been given, write your name on it, and put it up here. So this wall now is going to represent a spectrum of holiness. So Satan's way over there, and Jesus is way over there. So I want you to take your piece of paper and stick it where you think your holiness is. And so this is what you saw. A huge mass of people right here. The entire church right here. This is where all the action was happening. And what it revealed was that we don't understand how much forgiven we are. What we should have done is we should have taken Paul and ripped him off and stuck him over here with Jesus. And if we are a Christian, we should have taken all of our names and put it over there because we are forgiven. We have been forgiven so much, just like this story indicates. And that's why Jesus put that in, was to give this idea of you don't know what you have. And we spend our time like squabbling about little things and doing revengeful little things and talking behind people's back and suing people and all of the other little things that cause us to melt our unity. That there's so much that we could have if we were just unified, if we realized that unity is way more important than our feelings. Offense hinders love and growth and purpose. There's probably about 30, 40 people in this room. If you take all of those relationships of Silas and Tom and Bill and Beth, and you like count all of those and you add them up, we have hundreds. We have around like 500 just in this room of relationships, of individual one-to-one relationships. If we could take each relationship from stranger to acquaintance, or from acquaintance to friend, friend to good friend to like brother and sister level, how much more unified and how much more effective we could be. And it takes tons and tons of work. So the takeaway, the challenge is if there is disunity, let's work on it. Let's bring it up. If we want bitterness to grow, let's not bring it up. But if we want to actually be a unified body that's accomplishing something that's closer to what God has for us, let's bring it up. Let's forgive. Unity is an absolutely beautiful thing. Man, I've been loved countless times because of unity. And I have been hurt a number of times in my life because I have let offense take root. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are not done with us. Father, I thank you that every day we have an opportunity to grow closer to you, and we have an opportunity to take your words and sink them deep inside, that it affects our attitude and it affects the way we look at people, the way that we look at life, of all these busy people just walking around living their life, God. You have so much more. I thank you that you have brought us here. Father, I thank you that you are growing us in unity. Amen.